Good morning and Merry Christmas, Family Worship Center, Body of Believers. You made it out through a snowstorm. Does anybody have any prayer requests before I get started? I was going to pray anyways. Yes? Traveling mercies. Is that for just us personally or? Everybody. Okay, great. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Yes.
Very, very tough to watch. My daughter is in need of a lot of prayer.
Right. Carrie.
Our daughter.
Yeah. Okay. Martha was supposed to be here this morning, but she said she has excruciating pain in her neck.
Sure. Anyone else? Yes, Jessica.
Dan and Selena, Dan's father passed away 2 days ago.
Okay, so pray for Selena.
Dan and Selena.
Dan Selica.
Yeah, Dan and Selena, C-E-L-I-N-D-A.
Okay. And you said Dan had passed away? Dan's dad had passed away. Okay. Anyone else? Any special requests on this Christmas morning? Anybody want to request that something else show up in their stocking? Okay. Well, let's go talk to God about these things. Dear Heavenly Father God, you are awesome. Father God, I praise you and thank you that you are on your throne, that you reign eternally, Father God, that you look down and you hear the groaning of the prisoner and you hear the issues that we lift up to you. Father God, I'm so grateful that you answer our prayers. Father God, this morning we lift up to you our requests. Lord God, that the traveling mercies that you would grant to us as we move down these roads that are slippery, Lord. Thank you for being with our vehicles and our hand-eye coordination, Father God. Lord, we lift up to you Glenda's request for her daughter, Carrie. Father God, this is a weight. This is heavy, Father God. This is, there's pain involved. We thank you for being the great comforter, coming around this family and showing them your mercy and your grace. Thank you for giving your wisdom to Carrie, for showing her how to process what she's going through. Father God, we lift up to you Martha, our missing drummer this morning. Thank you, God, that you're with her right now, granting her a wonderful Christmas in the midst of the pain that's in her neck. And we just thank you, God, that you're able to lift that pain, relieve that pain. Lord God, that you're able to come around her and show her your presence. Father God, for Dan and Selena, we just thank you, God, that you're comforting them this morning, this unexpected passing of Dan's dad. Father God, we know that you're with their family and you're showering down your mercies. And Father God, as they take time to reflect, I just thank you that you would grant them the spirit of gratefulness for all that they were able to experience with Dan's dad. Now, Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, as we celebrate the gift of your son this morning, Father God, I praise you that that you would quicken our hearts and our minds and our thoughts to be renewed, to center our hope on you. And Father God, that as I share from your word, Lord God, that the meditations of my heart would be blessed to this particular group of body believers this morning, to myself. Father God, that as I open my mouth and make known this message, that it would be done with boldness and that perhaps one or two mysteries of your gospel would be illuminated, to give us confidence, to encourage us, to show us more about you, to give us peace. Just praise you and thank you in Yahushua's holy, holy, holy name. Amen. There was approximately 400 years of silence. There was nothing heard from God. There was no signs, and there was no prophets that spoke. Silence for God's chosen people. Then, an angel appeared to Zechariah. This morning, as you can see, what did the angels say? After 400 years of God not talking to his chosen people. You all are God's chosen people. You've been grafted into that root. All right. So I just hit this thing. Y'all are paying attention. We have no childcare this morning, but there's be a couple times I might ask for a volunteer to hit this thing because we have some children among us, or maybe children at heart. So if you'd like to come forward at a certain time, I'm like, hey, it's time to hit this thing. Come on forward. That's gonna be our a bit of our childcare this morning. Okay. So who did the angels appear to? Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, the shepherds directly, and then in dreams and in visions, direct messages, prophetic words, they went to the Oriental kings. We know them as the wise men. And also, Simon in the temple received a special message from the Lord, and also Anna in the temple received a message from the Lord. Okay. The challenge this morning will be to share something a little bit new for you all this morning. We're all probably fairly church. We've been in this story probably every year, so I'm trying to take it to a different level. And I also want to share application points. So I want to spur us on a little bit in this blessed Christmas morning. I don't want us to leave here at the same level in our Christianity. I want you to be asking yourself a question. How can we make this slightly different? How can we improve our Christian walk from this message? Okay? So there's a bit of a challenge. All right. Let's talk about angels for a second. They do the bidding of the Lord. Okay? They live in the presence of heaven. When they show up, it's as if a piece of God's glory has just dropped down from earth. He's just thrown it down, and when it appears, it's a bit of heaven on earth, bright, shining in their glory. Like, no question, they're completely 100% bold because they've been designated by the Lord to be there. Thought that was kind of interesting. When what angels say is in essence what God told them to say. So think about that. God said this directly. We've heard from Pastor Ken Ray the past few weeks. He said, what part of the Bible has God written? And he challenged us with that trivia question. It was the Ten Commandments. God wrote that himself. Well, this is pretty close to what God said. Angels, 100% obedient. The word angel, by the way, in Greek, it's pronounced angelos. I've been doing some Greek study. Angelos. It's called a cognate. We've borrowed it from Greek. So our word angel is from the Greek word angelos. The meaning is messenger. Okay. That is the title for an angel, is messenger. All right. Angels were not a new thing. Okay. They could look back and they could see them. Psalm 103, verses 19, 20, and 21, if you want to open your scriptures. There's nothing on the slides besides this one slide, so if you want to actually see these scriptures, I will give references, but they're not going to be on the screen if you want to follow along here. Psalm 103, 19 through 20 and 21. There's a pastor who once stood in front of an audience. It was, I think, Bill Johnson. He stood in front of a huge student audience, And he said, you know, one of the most encouraging sounds for a pastor is the pages of Bible wrinkling. And so he's like, here, everyone wrinkle your pages of your scripture. And everyone, like, they all wrinkled their pages. He's like, okay, that's good. I heard them all. Good. I'm encouraged. All right, so I'll say it one more time. Psalm 103, 19, 20, and 21. The Lord has established his throne in heaven. And I'm also going to skip some things because I heard this is supposed to be a brief message. So I have you go into your scriptures so you can actually see the whole thing, but I'm actually skipping through. In verse 20, he says, the writer says, praise the Lord, all his angels of great strength. Okay, so angels show up. Not only are they bright, shining, awesome, but they also are of great strength, who do his word. Right there, it says that. Obedient to his command. So what did they say? They're carrying a memo straight from God. What did they say? All right, does anyone want to come hit this thing again? Any volunteers? Angels, the first time showing up. Okay, come on up. We're going to have a boom every time one of the angels shows up. So just hit this thing. So here we go. Angels, show up. Luke 1. You just put it back down or something like that. Very good, very good. Luke 1, if you want to turn to Luke 1, 13 through 17, there was a priest named Zechariah. He had a wife named Elizabeth. She was from the sons of Aaron. Okay, so just pause for a second. Zechariah, in order to be a priest, had to be through the tribe of Levi. Elizabeth, from the sons of Aaron, not the first, but Moses' brother Aaron, also the high priest of Israel from way back when, they're both from the priestly line. Okay. Both were righteous in God's sight. Okay. They were doing a lot of things. They were following the Jewish customs of the land. They weren't rebels. Okay. It points out in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Luke, they had no children. Both of them were well along in years. That's a hint. They were probably past the age of bearing children naturally or of a normal explanation fashion. He was serving as priest before God. So here's some more of the background of what this meant. It happened by lot that he was chosen according to the custom of the priesthood that he was going to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. All right? So the incense altar is about this big. It's about 18 inches by 18 inches, okay? I'm going to turn around and face because the incense altar, it faced the Holy of Holies. Most likely he was standing facing the Holy of Holies. Off to the right was a table of showbread. That's the bread that was put out as a meal before the Lord. It was a way to show that God wanted to have a meal with his people. There was bread on it. It was sacred bread. If you may remember, David walked into the temple one time and he asked for food for his men, and they gave him the bread right off the showbread, okay, right off the showbread table. Over here was a giant menorah. You may know what menorahs are. 7 huge candlestick. So he's most likely burning incense. He's facing the Holy of Holies. But when it says it was chosen by lot, that means this is a once in a lifetime for a priest's opportunity. Okay? He was never going to do it again. It was so special that once you did it, you were out of the drawing. Okay? He's older. He's probably been anticipating this. He's heard about it. He's been trained. He's there. He's also alone. The people are outside. The Holy of Holies, he's right next to it. Most likely, this is inferred, he's most likely trying to do this the best he knows how because he's a righteous man and he's lived his whole life as to the letter as possible. Okay. So here he is. He's facing the Holy of Holies. He's burning incense. This incense, by the way, it's made of four Hebrew spices. And I want to go to what this incense meant to the Lord. So we're going to go to Revelations 5, verse 8 for real quick. You don't have to turn there. This incense represents the prayers of the saints. Okay? We can tell this from this verse. He says, when Jesus shows up and he takes the scroll, he says, when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, they fell down before the Lamb. Each one of these elders and four living creatures had a harp and a gold bowls, and those gold bowls are filled with incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Okay? So he's offering incense to the Lord. He's saying, I am here to offer our prayers to you. The people that are outside, a huge crowd, they're all praying. Okay? This is the picture that's happening. So he's there. He's doing his thing. And an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zacharias saw him, he was startled and overcome with fear. There wasn't a lot of space for that angel to show up. That showbread table was not very far away. The angel was close. This is what the angel said. Do not be afraid. Okay. When God shows up, it's an awesome moment, guys. The angel is trying to reassure him, but it's overwhelming. And this is one of the reasons God does not necessarily overwhelm us with the presence of his glory. He wants to draw us into a relationship. If he really did show up to everyone, it would not really be a choice. Everyone would believe immediately that there was a God in heaven. Do not be afraid. The angel says right away, because your prayer has been heard. Be encouraged, saints of the Lord. Your prayers are heard. What was he praying for? He was praying for a child, and the angel immediately answers that prayer and says, your wife, Elizabeth, is about to have a son. You will name him John. And then he goes on to speak about John. He says, there will be delight for you. There will be joy for you. Your son will be filled with the Holy Spirit while still in his mother's womb. Fascinating. Fascinating. The Holy Spirit, the tongues of fire, they had not arrived yet. So this is just a quick thing. The Holy Spirit was around way before the tongues of fire showed up over the disciples, in case no one knew that yet. Children can have the Holy Spirit inside before they're even born. Fascinating. Kind of relates to our culture today, right? He will turn many of the sons of Israel to the Lord their God. He will go before him, Jesus Christ, in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the disobedient to the understanding of righteousness. He will make ready for the Lord a prepared people. The angel gave this long speech. Zechariah immediately asked, he said, how can I know this? For we are an old couple, right? He got caught at the first part of you're about to have a son. He's like, how can I know this? We're out of date. It's over. So the angel answered, he said, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. I was sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Now listen, you will become silent and unable to speak until the day these things take place, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. Okay, so God knew what Zechariah was going to say, and he told the angel what to say to Zechariah when that happened. Okay. This is a humbling moment, but when you express disbelief before the Lord, he knows that and he has an answer for that. There's nothing in any one of us that is new to God. He's got a reply. You can pour it out. This may not be, we may not say the most admirable things, but God knows how to handle it. Okay, so we know he was silent for 40 weeks. According to the Greek, he said four words. How can I know this? And then he was struck dumb for over 40 weeks. Monumental four words. But it was also a sign. It proved that he actually had seen an angel. Okay. So God even used that doubt to, when he walked out, he couldn't talk to anyone. He had to gesture and like, so there was an angel. Right? Like, it was a sign. It proved what had just happened, right? So even in his doubt, God said, I'll do something about that, and everyone will know. Okay. So here's, I have several questions here. I'll try to ask you one or two. But here's a moment in the sermon where I want to try to give us some conviction. Okay? So be prepared to do a little introspection here. What do we speak out in our worldly wisdom in front of God that shows our doubt? Okay? We need to reflect. I need to reflect. Are we aware of our own sin? Are we aware of the doubts that we have? Are we aware of our waywardness? Are we aware of our disbelief in what God says about us or to us? We may get caught up in walking by sight, like, oh, that's good news, but that doesn't work for me. I can't believe that. I don't see God showing up that way. So one of my questions here, how big is your God? Okay. Each of you has difficult places in your life where God's really working on you and you're really suffering. But how big is your God in those situations? All right. Who wants to hit this thing again? Anybody? Any of my daughters want to come up here? Do you want to come up here? No? We can have repeats. That's fine. The next angel is about to show up. It's found in Luke 1, verses 26 through 38. All right, so he shows up. And he shows up to Mary. And he says, "Do not be afraid. You're about to become pregnant and have a baby boy." Okay, look at the gender specific here. Back then, they couldn't ever tell what gender they were having until it arrived. Okay, gender specific. Name him Jesus. Okay, so a little bit more of my Greek training. Iosus is how you say that in Greek. It's close. And then Yeshua is how you say that in Aramaic, I believe. Yeshua. Jesus spoke Aramaic to his followers. Okay, but the New Testament's written in Greek, which is an interesting thing, right? The Aramaic was for the common people. The Greek was for the higher up level in general. But they knew both. They had to get along. Okay, just some language for you. If you think about Bible translation, the Bible is a translation right off the bat. And often the transliterations of the words that we see in the New Testament, they're Aramaic. They're not necessarily Greek. So just think, the disciples were translators. Okay, I'll try to slow down there. Okay, name him Jesus. He will be great. He is the Son of the Most High. He will reign on David's throne, and his kingdom will have no end. We are in the midst of Christ's kingdom right now. He has arrived. He will reign. His kingdom has no end. It started. Mary replies. She says, "Well, I'm not married, so how is it possible for me to have a son?" Just one small detail. The angel said here, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." Again, he has an answer right there. He's like, oh, let me go back to God and figure this out. No, God knew how this was going to work. Your baby will be called Son of God. And then he says this, "Your cousin Elizabeth is pregnant." Mary would know about her cousin. Mary would know that over perhaps decades that they had not had a child. For her to hear that, the angel saying, oh, and here's a sign. Your cousin is pregnant. That would probably rock her world, right? Because now she knew like something had happened that had been impossible. And the angel follows up with, nothing will be impossible with God. So going back to that question, how big is your God? There is nothing impossible with your God. When you want to walk on faith, he loves it. Because you are saying, you can do it. All right. So application here. Mary's response, and there's sermons written, y'all, about like, do you want to be Zechariah or do you want to be Mary? I just want to say we're probably a little bit of both here. I'm not going to go there. But anyways, her response is one of obedience and service. Okay, I want to be found obedient and in service to the Lord, what he's shown me to do. What is your response? When God shows up and he gives you powerful words from his word, we have the written scripture, what is our response? What is your response? Okay, maybe I'll just hit this myself now this time. I'm going to volunteer myself. Another angel shows up. This time is to Joseph. Okay? Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. He says, the angel shows up and he says, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife." Okay, you may know that in the midst of betrothal, Joseph was betrothed to Mary. It was, okay, you needed a letter of divorce in order to get out of a betrothal. That's how serious it was. They were not living together, but they were promised to each other. There was no getting out. Women could not divorce back then, by the way. They had to ask the man to divorce them in the way the law was set up. Okay, hopefully that's a piece of trivia. So it was up to Joseph to do something or to end the betrothal. And the angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The baby within her is from supernatural conception." And here's what he says. She will bring forth a son, and he will be called Jesus. Okay? Same name that was given to Mary. So it corroborates her story. Right? She said, "I'm supposed to name this son Jesus." And then the angel shows up. Yeah, name him Jesus. Jesus in either Greek or Aramaic, I'm not sure. It means Savior. Okay. Name your son Savior. Okay. Why? Because the angel says he will save his people from their sins. Hallelujah, folks. That's what we're saved. We are all saved. He is our Savior, right? We're celebrating this morning. He came. God's Savior came. That King of David that was going to sit on his throne. Okay, if you're not saved this morning, we're going to talk about this a little later, but do consider your eternal destiny. Do consider where you want to be after you die. A couple other applications here. If we notice, God chose his very best people in Israel to carry out his will. Okay, Elizabeth, Zechariah, of the priestly line, living very moral, ethic lives, right? As a body of believers, we want to be choosing our very best to represent us and to send them out. Okay? We don't want to send out the half tries or whatever, right? We want to do our very best and send those people out to accomplish God's will. This brings God glory. It's his process. He's chosen this. Okay, next drummer. Tim, you got rid of all your sons? Okay. All right, so then the angels show up to the shepherds. All right, so this is when it gets really glorious, really fast. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14. The shepherds were staying in the fields, and they were keeping watch at night. It's a great time to show up with a bunch of glory, right? If you're going to light up something, light up the night, right? So there was one angel that initially stood before the shepherds, stood, probably on their level, right? We think of sometimes the angels were in the clouds, stood. He was standing on something, stood before them. The glory of the Lord shone around them. They were terrified, immediately convinced that what they were about to receive was very important from the throne room of heaven. The angel said, "Do not be afraid." Y'all have ever had those moments when your heart's just really pumping? Maybe it was maybe you were driving and you realized you're about to get in an accident, or maybe you felt like something cataclysmic had just happened. That's where these shepherds are at. Like, they were just watching sheep. It was dark out, and then this is happening. Like, it's going to take some time for that adrenaline to calm down. "Do not be afraid," the angel says. "I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Okay, think. We are part of all the people. That news is for us. Today, a Savior who is Messiah the Lord. Remember, this is the Jews' long-awaited Savior. They've been waiting for a long time for this to show up. 400 years of silence just before this happens. Okay, this is a real test on endurance of patience. In the city of David, which you're right close by, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts with the angels. They were praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." So the word holy describes God. Holy, holy, thrice holy. So there was a level of words that were understood in that time. When you said something was clean, it might be just that it was clean. If you said something had been like scrubbed, and then if it was sterile, that's kind of how it was. So when they had to say the word holy, they had to say it three times. And that's what they're referring to here, the highest heaven. Glory to God in the highest heaven, the most holy, highest place. The angels left them. They returned to heaven. The shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. This is immediate obedience by the shepherds. Praise God. Praise God for immediate obedience. When we immediately obey what God shows us, that is not of us. That is of the Holy Spirit living in us when we immediately obey. So my petition here is that when the Holy Spirit comes to you and gently convicts you, would you please immediately obey? All right, we're almost done here. Angels and kings. What do we know? Matthew chapter 2, verse 12. The angels show up to the Oriental kings. They were on their way. They had just met Jesus. They were about to go back to their country. You may know that Herod had said, come tell me about this king. And we know his intentions were devious, and he wanted to kill Jesus. Angels spoke to the a prophetic dream, and they were warned not to return to Herod. Okay, so if there's Bethlehem and Jerusalem, which is where Herod was, like the way the Oriental kings would have gone was like straight through Jerusalem up to there where they came from. In order to not go to Jerusalem, they had to like go south, and then they had to go like on the coast probably, where there was another trade route. It was way out of the way. That's what I'm trying to say. Like in order to do this, and Herod would have known that they didn't come back because they were such a presence. Remember, all of Jerusalem was stirred when they showed up. They obeyed. It was difficult. That's what I'm trying to say. They had to go out of their way to obey God. Like, oh, no, really? That's going to add 300 miles to my trip on camel. Oh, man. I might be out some gas money if I go and help that person, right? If I go do what God said to do, oh, man, that's difficult. Okay, there is a price to be paid when we obey God, folks. Don't be surprised. If you're out of your comfort zone and have to ride on a camel for a long time, then God's with you in that, right? But he told you what to do because he has other plans involved. Did they know that Herod was going to issue a command to kill all the children, the boys, right? Maybe not. But when God talks to us, let's immediately obey. Let's trust him. It's an act of faith, right? And if it costs a lot, he'll provide, right? But we have to immediately obey. Okay, another one? Any other volunteers? No? Cassia, do you want to come with this? You can come with it, sure. Sure, Kelly. No? Okay. Thanks. It's supposed to be the object lesson of the day. All right, the next time the angels show up was to Joseph, and they appeared. This is not just a divine message. This is an actual angel appeared in a dream. Okay, Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And the angel says, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. Simple message. Joseph gets up and he does it. Okay. So a couple things here. Joseph flees during the night. Why? Because there was two routes to go from Bethlehem to Egypt. If he fled at night, he was a lot less likely to be tracked because no one would have known which route he took. Also, the angel said after that, stay there until I bring you word. Who here likes to just wait in limbo for God to talk to you about what to do next? Out of your own country, away from your own people, the angel says, stay there until I bring you word. Like, that's not and start a business and have lunch ready for, you know, like, stay there until I bring you word, okay? When we're in that place where we don't know what to do, take some time with God, okay? When we're at our wit's end, when we're out of our comfort zone, right? This is a totally different country. Just pause, reflect, remind yourself of all that God has done. He could remind himself of the previous dream to take Mary as his wife. He could remind himself of the shepherds and what they had heard the angels say. He could remind himself of Zechariah, right? Pause, reflect, wait. Remind yourself of how good and how amazing and how awesome your God is. Because in reflecting that, you will prepare yourself for the next step of action, right? Perhaps he had gold and frankincense and myrrh with him too, right? Physical reminders of all that God has done. There is scripture about going back to those stones that the Israelites set up. Remind yourselves or tell your children what God has done. And also, by the way, I did a little research. Egypt had Jews in it. We don't know where Joseph went. The city of Alexandria, about 1 million strong in Egypt at that time, it's estimated that 1/3 of their population was Jewish. 300,000. Okay, this was something new for me when I prepared this. I didn't know that Joseph possibly just ran into some other Jews. These individuals considered them devout followers of the Jewish faith, even though they were not in Israel, right? In my travels across the United States, I've comforted myself by saying, I will find Christians at the other end of my journey, and I will spend time with them. And they will welcome me, and they will be my new family. Okay? Perhaps not all of you grew up and stayed in Grass Lake your whole life. Perhaps you have been transplanted once or twice in your life. God will meet you there with his people. Okay? Be assured, there was blessings. These Jews, by the way, in Alexandria, it was understood that some of them were of the elite class. They had influence and power, and some of them were, most of them were peasants, however. All right, I don't know if anyone wants to hit this thing again, but an angel appeared to Joseph again in Egypt, and he appeared in a dream, and he said, "Arise, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel." Joseph arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. So it was similar wordage, similar message. So God had trained Joseph at this point to listen in dreams. So he was confident that he had heard from the Lord. When we often follow the God, he will give us confidence as we hear from him. Okay. I think that's all the angel things that we're going to review today. So here we go. The last parts of this speech. How do we make this apply to our walk today? Well, praise God, we don't have 400 years of silence to deal with. Praise the Lord that is over, right? We know that praying and meditating, so this is a reminder, but we also know this, praying and meditating on Scripture, that's our guide, okay? So spend some time in Scripture. Spend some time with the Lord. Spend some time talking to him. One of the most powerful things that you could do as Christians, and folks, this is from people that have done great things, like Hudson Taylor and George Mueller, people that have done great things. So I want to like help you level up here. One of the most powerful things you could do is take God's word and pray it to him. Okay? God, you said you were going to give me peace. I believe in peace. Act in faith on the words and pray it to him. That is one of the most powerful things you can do as Christians. Okay? The Holy Spirit lives inside of us, he speaks to us, and he blesses us with his holy wisdom. We have to spend time with him. It's a relationship. What's another application here? Our life today involves angels. Psalm 91, verses 9 through 12. Because you have made the Lord my refuge, you have made the Most High your dwelling place, no harm will come to you. No plague will come near your tent. Harm, physical harm, that's one that we often think about. Plague, sickness or disease, that's one we often think about. God promises protection. Why? Because in verse 11, he will give his angels orders concerning you to protect you in all your ways. That's a lot of ways represented in this room. Angels are powerful enough to do it. They will support you with their hands. Hallelujah. We know that they're massive, powerful beings. Their hands are on it so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Okay. I challenge you all to consider that aspect of angels today. Believe it. Okay. All right, so if the music team wants to come back up and play a little interlude here. So here we are. God used his angels to announce the arrival of his son into the world. John 3:16. For God loved the world in this way. That's why Jesus came, because God loved the world. in this way. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That's why God gave his Son. He didn't want to see us in hell. He wanted to see us to have eternal life with him. He wanted to restore the relationship that Adam enjoyed in the garden, that close communion. That's the biggest reason that God gave his Son. So, if you'd like to come up and pray, I think we're going to do Silent Night, Holy Night. Mm-hmm. If you want to pray in your seats, you want to take some time to reflect on this, just remind ourselves, God sent his best messengers to give us his truth. So let's praise the Lord as God intervened in the history of man to give us his Savior. Let us pray. Father God, I praise you that this morning we've taken time to celebrate the arrival of your Son. Father God, you are so in love with us, you wanted to save us. Bless us as we go, Father God, to be your messengers, sharing your word with the Holy Spirit that's in each one of us. In Yeshua's name, I pray. Let us rejoice in being raised from our dead life into newness of life in Christ Jesus. Let us rejoice in the work of redemption. Let us rejoice that God is making a way through his world, through the fallenness and through the awfulness. God is making a way. Let us praise him that his light is powerful. It is shining in his love. His mercy is outrun by his grace. His peace brings joy and hope. His passionate love reveals his comforting spirit. Let us rejoice that God sent his Son to make a way for us. Be blessed in the name of our Savior, Yahushua. Let's go out and share the glad tidings. Merry Christmas. You all are dismissed.